Hey there folks, you're listening to the Philadelphia Eagles edition of the 2018 Team Preview Series, a special edition of RotoViz Radio. My name is Neil Dutton, you can follow me on Twitter at ndutton13. Our guest today is Jimmy Kemsky, he's the Eagles beat writer for the Philly Voice. You can follow him on Twitter at Jimmy Kemsky. We'll talk about the changes for the Eagles as they go from underdogs to defending Super Bowl champions, the progress of Carson Wentz and the rest of the IR brigade as they return from injury, and a few of the other key players heading into the 2018 season. Then I'll take a closer look at the journey of Carson Wentz in the NFL so far, as well as looking at two of the key fantasy players on the Eagles offense using some of the great apps we have at RotoViz. For those of you who don't know, RotoViz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. Go to rotoviz.com to check out the site. But that's enough from me, let's bring out Jimmy Kemsky. Delighted to be joined by Jimmy Kemsky with the Philly Voice. You can follow him on Twitter at Jimmy Kemsky. Jimmy, thanks very much for jumping on with us.
Yeah, happy to join you, Neil.
We'll get straight into it. Obviously, you know, you've been to several Eagles training camps before. I'll be polite, I won't say exactly how many. Are there any major differences between the ones in the past or this one, bearing in mind the Eagles did quite well last season?
Yeah, the difference is this team is really good. I mean, obviously they won the Super Bowl last year, but this is the most complete team that I've seen them have in camp in my time covering the team. I think it's my seventh training camp that I'm covering. Actually, it might be eight. Anyway, but it's by far the best team that I've covered. Even going back to last year, the year they won the Super Bowl, this time last year, the cornerbacks looked horrible. Like, they had Jalen Mills was their number one cornerback, and, you know, he hadn't had the season that he had last year yet. Patrick Robinson was a guy that they signed pretty late in free agency, and he was dreadful at the beginning of camp. He turned it around a little bit later in camp and into the preseason games, and they wound up having a great season. And they hadn't yet traded for Ronald Darby at this point in the offseason last year. So, I mean, they had a lot of holes on their team. It's really hard to find any, you know, goals at all, at least in the starting lineup with this team. And then when you look at their depth, they're really strong. Linebacker might be a little bit weak in terms of depth. But, I mean, it's as complete a team as I've seen since I've covered at least locally since I've been covering the NFL.
Obviously, one of the things that can happen after the Super Bowl is that a lot of the parts that made the team win can be attracted elsewhere. Obviously, you know, sometimes you see players leave. There haven't been that many for the Eagles, I don't think, but there has been changes on the coaching side. What, if any, impact do you think that could have moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's an undersold story so far. And, you know, they lost Frank Reich and your boy, John DeFilippo, of course.
Mm-hmm.
They lost Reich to the Colts. He's their head coach now. They lost DeFilippo to the Vikings. He's now their offensive coordinator. He was their quarterback's coach in Philadelphia. And those two guys were a big, big part of the game planning for their upcoming opponent each week. They really, DeFilippo was big in terms of their red zone preparation for each opponent. And they, off the top of my head, I think they were 64.1% in terms of touchdowns scored whenever they got to the red zone, which was second in the NFL. And that was a big upgrade from 2016, when I think they were around 49% in, you know, the bottom half of the league in that category. So that was one of the big things that they improved in 2017, was their red zone offense. And like I said, DeFilippo had a huge part of that. And then Frank Reich had his hands all over third down conversions as well as red zone, and then also just, you know, general game planning in terms of, you know, in between the 20s against their opponents each week. So they're going to have to replace those guys, and they did, obviously, with Mike Groh becoming the offensive coordinator. And then, you know, they filled the other spots as well. So, they certainly are going to have to prove that they can game plan for upcoming opponents the same way that the trio of Peterson, Reich, and DeFilippo were able to during their Super Bowl run last year.
So obviously, where we go to on the field, the big question obviously surrounding the Eagles going into this season will be the health and availability of Carson Wentz. Obviously, you're not a doctor, and I know this is, you know, the stupidest question that people keep asking every single person wearing an Eagles uniform, but do you think he's going to be ready for week one based on what you've seen or haven't seen so far?
I would be absolutely stunned if he did not start week one. And I mean, I'm not a doctor, as you mentioned, and you know, shouldn't be trying to play one. But from what I've seen of him in practice, I don't see a guy that looks injured in any way whatsoever. I mean, the only way that I could tell he was injured is by watching him because he's wearing a knee brace. The Carson Wentz that I've seen, there was one specific day, it was last Saturday, in which he made a number of really impressive physical plays, one of which was he was in the pocket, and the pocket was starting to collapse around him, and he did sort of a Tony Romo spin to the outside. And at that point, he was being pursued by Chris Long, and he was able to outrun Chris Long and throw on the run while going to his left on the money to a receiver. And it was just a wild type of play where you go, I can't believe this guy is, what, 7 months removed, or 8 months removed, rather, from a torn ACL and LCL. So I look at that play, and I don't mean to make too much of one play, or rather the four plays that I mentioned that I saw during that day of training camp. But, I mean, I can't see how he can possibly not be ready by week one, especially given they're, what, like 35, actually even more than that, days away from their first regular season game against the Atlanta Falcons week one. And then I've gotten a little bit of heat on this, but I wouldn't be totally surprised if he didn't make an appearance, or if he made an appearance in one of the preseason games, which I know people seem to think is crazy, and I don't think they're crazy for thinking that I'm crazy, but I think, you know, it might be a little bit beneficial to see him for him to be able to get into a preseason game and just kind of see the speed of the game. I mean, not that he hasn't seen it before, but just kind of, you know, get back into sort of getting ready for game day kind of rhythm. You know, you're not going to take any chances with him. Obviously, you're not going to have him take seven step drops or anything like that. If you're going to, you know, have him, you know, throw some quick hitters and hand the ball off, but you know, kind of keep him out of harm's way. But he is so much further along than I thought he would be at this point. And again, like I said, I'd be stunned if he didn't play week one.
When you talk about handing off, obviously, quick plays, handing off the run game, we saw how important it was last season without ever really having a true bell cow back, as it were. How does the running back situation look at the moment? I mean, obviously, LeGarrette Blount has gone. Kenyon Barner, who had his moments last year, he's no longer there. How is it looking now? And do you think we'll see a difference from the two previous years under Peterson and maybe have that bell cow back? Or is it still just going to be a committee?
Yeah, well, I think if it's going to be a committee to some degree, it'll be Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement, and Darren Sproles, who they're locks to make the roster. And then the fourth running back spot will be won in camp by either Danelle Pumphrey, Wendell Smallwood, undrafted free agent Josh Adams, or free agent acquisition Matt Jones, who was formerly with the Redskins Colts. So who knows, four guys that make the team. I don't know how heavily they'll be involved, you know, whoever comes out of that group. But, you know, Sproles, Clement, and Ajayi are all going to get their share of touches. The one thing I will say about Ajayi is last year they really throttled him down after they acquired him from the Dolphins around the midpoint of the season last year. They wanted to make sure that he was healthy for the stretch run of the season and the postseason, because he does have knee issues, and the Eagles have pretty much, you know, they've had no problems acknowledging, they've been not shy, rather, about acknowledging his knee problems. But the thing I do wonder is, Jai's going to be a free agent next offseason, and the Eagles are going to be kind of tight against the cap as they were this offseason. They, of course, have the Carson Wentz contract extension on the horizon. That's going to be costly. It's going to be hard for them to spend, you know, dollars on some of the players that on their own roster that, you know, are coming up in free agency, as well as, you know, bringing guys in from the outside. So Ajayi is a pretty decent bet to move on to another team next offseason. And if the Eagles do, in fact, believe that, then I do think they're going to give him a bigger workload, because, hell, what do they care? He's going a little bit past the 2018 season. And that won't be a problem for Jay Ajayi either, because as a free agent upcoming, he's going to want as many carries as he can get, because he's going to staff with this so that he can make more money on the open market. So if there is reason to believe a guy is going to get, you know, maybe more carries or more looks than he did a season ago, then I think Jay Ajayi is a pretty good example of that.
Moving over to the pass catchers, one player that, and I personally was quite excited about coming into this season, especially after Torrey Smith was traded away, was Mac Hollins.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, Alshon Jeffries, you know, entrenched as the number one. We got Aguilar going to work the slot. But then, obviously, the Eagles then signed Mike Wallace. Is it pretty much a given that that's going to be the starting three, or is there a chance that Hollins could work his way ahead of Wallace as camp progresses?
Well, Hollins has been getting first team reps all throughout camp, and that's because Alshon Jeffries is on the pup list with having still recovers from a torn rotator cuff surgery. So right now it's Wallace, Hollins, and Aguilar. Of course, Jeffries he'll be in the starting lineup when he returns. And it'll be Wallace. That'll be the number two receiver, and Aguilar will be the three, and Hollins will resume his spot as the fourth receiver and, budding special teams ace. So, I don't think Hollins is going to be, really heavily involved in the offense, especially now because also the Eagles have, they have Zach Ertz, but then they also have second-round pick Dallas Goedert, who has looked phenomenal throughout camp so far. And then they have the running backs who are going to be involved in the passing game. Corey Clement showed that he can be a factor in the passing game last year. They'll have Darren Sproles back, who was a factor in the passing game. So there just really aren't that many targets to go around for a guy like Matt Hollins. And the fact is, if I can say, throughout training camp, even working with the ones, Hollins has been kind of quiet. So I don't really see a big jump out of him from year one to year two. I think he's going to improve, and I think he is improved. But again, I don't think many targets are going to come his way just because of his sheer numbers in the Eagles' offense.
You mentioned the tight end. Obviously, Zach Ertz led the team with receiving yards, I think, last year, or receptions, one or the other. It was something of seen as a breakout year for him, even though he'd actually been quite consistent the year, first 2 years. He just never scored touchdowns. The Eagles then, obviously, with their earliest pick, they selected Dallas Goedert. Is there a chance, do you think, that Goddard can come in and have a big role? Or will he just simply have similar to what Trey Burton had last year?
I'd be very surprised if he played as little as Trey Burton. Trey Burton only had 200-something receiving yards last year. I think his biggest year was 2016. Off the top of my head, I think he had like 300-something receiving yards. It blows my mind that he got an $8 million a year contract. The Bears, I think he's one of the more overrated players in the NFL from a fantasy football perspective. Because I just don't think he's shown enough for people to think that he's going to put up huge numbers in Chicago. But anyway, to get off that tangent, I think Goddard's going to play early, and I think he's going to play a lot. Eagles also signed Richard Rodgers in free agency this offseason from the Packers. I think he's going to be their three. Goddard's going to be their two. Zach Ertz is going to be their one. And I think they're going to utilize more two tight end sets than they did last year. Goddard is legit. I mean, from what I've seen so far out of him in training camp, he gets open and he catches passes.
that's a
high-level analysis, but that's just what he does. And I think he's going to be heavily involved in the red zone. He's going to be tough to stop again in the red zone this year because not to place too much emphasis on size, but they do have Zach Ertz, who's 6'5", and 250. They have Goddard, who's 6'5", 260, and they have Alshon Jeffery, who's 6'3", 220. So, they're three big guys. It's going to be tough for opposing defenses to match up with that size. And Goddard has gotten a lot of run during training camp, especially in the red zone. So I think when the Eagles do get down and close, he's going to see a lot of playing time once they get inside the 20.
Moving to the other side of the ball, on the defense, obviously the continuity there, Jim Schwartz is back as defensive coordinator. Again, it doesn't look like there's been massive changes. I mean, Patrick Robinson has said he's gone back to New Orleans. Michael Kendricks was released. But the continuity on the talent that was there last season, this defense could potentially be actually better than it was last year? Or am I just drinking the Kool-Aid there?
Yeah, the defense was really good last year, and I think the shine is off them a little bit because they got torched in the Super Bowl. They won anyway, but John Brady hung 500-something passing yards on them, and Patriots had over 600 total yards on the Eagles' defense. It was just going to stop them once the second half rolled around. So, people remember that, but they played phenomenal defense against the Vikings in the NFC Championship game. They played really well against the Atlanta Falcons in the playoff game before that. And all throughout the season, they played great defense. And I'd say that they were very opportunistic. They were able to force a lot of turnovers, whereas a team like, say, the Vikings, they didn't give up a lot of yards, but they also didn't turn the opposition over all that much. And that's where, you know, kind of the Jim Schwartz scheme comes into play. The Eagles weren't rushing the quarterback with just four guys. If they can get pressure on the quarterback with just four guys, it makes life so much easier on the back seven. And the Eagles really put a lot of priority on their front four, and they have a really strong one with Brandon Graham, who's recovering from an injury. Timmy Jernigan is going to be out for a while, but they have Fletcher Cox, and they have Melody Inada. And they have Derek Barnett, who I believe is going to be more productive in his second year. They brought in Michael Bennett. They still have Chris Long. And they just have guys that they can throw at opposing quarterbacks in waves. And it's tough for, you know, opposing offensive lines to block them for four quarters. Eventually, they're going to break through, and they're going to make a play, as Brandon Graham did, despite the Eagles' defense getting torched in the Super Bowl when he was able to force the strip tackle of Tom Brady and, you know, essentially close out that game. So, you know, as long as the front four can create pressure on the opposing quarterback, then they're going to be absolutely fine, because but they get to the quarterback and they force the quarterback into bad decisions, and then it kind of hurts them on the back end. But it really always starts with that front four in any Jim Schwartz scheme.
So as we look now, say training camp's obviously started, season's a few weeks away. I assume you'd expect the Eagles to once again be challenging to be in the, you know, the late stages of the playoffs or even the Super Bowl again in 2018.
I think it's the best roster in the NFL. it's the simple way to put it. I know the Rams have signed a lot of guys and they have a lot of talent. To see what remains to be seen, if, you know, they can kind of all gel together. If the Patriots kind of took a hit this offseason, they obviously always still have Tom Brady and they have Gronkowski coming back, and you know those two guys alone, you know, can kind of give opposing defenses all the headaches in the world. But and the Eagles defense, or Eagles roster rather, from top to bottom, in my view, is the best in the NFL. And they're going to be really difficult to stop. NFC is loaded. I mean, even with the best roster in the NFL, you have the Rams, you have the Niners are going to be better. You have the Falcons are, I believe, an underrated team. You have the Saints, who did a lot of damage last year. You have the Packers, who are getting Aaron Rodgers back. You have the Vikings with their great defense. And just up and down the conference, you have this is the strongest NFC that we've seen in a while. And it's going to be, I mean, it's difficult for any team to repeat. Obviously, it hasn't happened since the Patriots did it after the 2005 season. But, I mean, especially this year for the Eagles with that loaded NFC, it's going to be difficult for them to get back.
I mean, you mentioned about the Rams. I mean, it's not as if we can, you know, anyone who's watched the Eagles for any length of time can offer any advice about how advisable dream teams are to put on the field.
Well, you know, the Eagles dreamed. I didn't think that was a terrible idea what they did that year in terms of, you know, bringing the talent. They thought they were close. The one thing that really kind of threw a wrench into the whole dream team thing for them that season was the lockout. So when the lockout ended, it was already like, I don't remember if it was like late July or early August. It was somewhere in there. And, you know, it had the draft, but free agency would normally be in March before the draft. Free agency happened as soon as the lockout ended. So, like, all these guys who, you know, didn't have contracts or their contracts had expired were free to sign anywhere. And training camp was already underway for a lot of these teams. So, they were bringing in, like, a new guy, like, every day. And I think that had a lot to do with the dream team, quote-unquote, really not working, because those guys just really had no time to kind of put it together and become a team the way they might have been able to had they assembled, you know, the roster the way they did in March. And that's where the Rams and the Eagles, you know, dream team comparisons, maybe that's the differentiator that Rams fans can kind of, you know, hang their hat on. But, you know, certainly when you do bring in a lot of talent the way that the Rams did, and not just talent, but talented guys who, you know, a lot of them kind of have histories of some off-the-field stuff. So we'll see how they'll be a fascinating camp. The Rams will be a fascinating sort of case study this year in roster building. It'll be fun to watch, you know, how good or you know, explosive that team is this season. But the Eagles are a good kind of comparison for them in terms of acquiring players. A lot of high-profile, you know, good players, but dream team comparison is a little different again because of those lockout things.
Well, it's been fantastic talking to you, Jimmy. I say that's Jimmy Kemsky of the Philly Voice. You can follow him on Twitter at Jimmy Kemsky. Jimmy, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, of course, Neil. Appreciate it.
That was my chat with Jimmy Kemsky of phillyvoice.com. Say follow him on Twitter at Jimmy Kemsky. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the things we were discussing. As you know, the NFL season is quickly approaching. Get ready for it with a subscription to a Rotoviz NFL Pass, which you can get right now for 30% off. This discount is for listeners of the podcast only, and it's available through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our NFL content and tools, and best of all, it supports the pod. Again, be sure to get your 30% discount for an NFL Pass at rotoviz.com/podcast. Welcome back. Before the break, we were speaking to Jimmy Kemsky, the Eagles beat writer for Philly Voice, as we looked at the Philadelphia Eagles going into the 2018 season. Obviously, huge difference coming into this season from last one. The Eagles are the defending Super Bowl champions. They were very, very efficient on offense, very productive, very explosive on offense in 2017. And they were also very strong on defense. The defense didn't get an awful lot of praise or credit, I don't think, because some people still fall back on the, yeah, but they gave up 505 passing yards in the Super Bowl. Yeah, it was to Tom Brady. You know, it wasn't to some no mark. It was to one of the greatest quarterbacks who's ever lived. So I think it can be forgiven to an extent. The Eagles obviously have some question marks on defense. They did lose a couple of pieces. Patrick Robinson, who'd been exceptional as the slot cornerback, he's gone back to New Orleans. Michael Kendricks has been released. He didn't really play that much, didn't make many big plays. But there's so many question marks, especially on the offense. As I said, there's a lot of players coming back from injury this year. Jason Peters, I say, one of the best left tackles in franchise history. Darren Sproles has been very, very productive as an Eagle ever since he came over. But obviously the big one that everyone is concerned about, and you know, and the most important player on the Eagles on the offense, let's be honest, it's Carson Wentz. So we know that he's coming back. He's probably ahead of schedule. I mean, we know that, you know, the new coach speak, if you're not ahead of schedule, you're behind schedule. But there does seem to be this groundswell of opinion that he will be ready for week one. So how important has Wentz been to the Eagles, and how much growth have we seen from him in his two seasons in the NFL? Well, if we use some of the apps we have at Rotoviz, I'd say we have over 20 proprietary apps on Rotoviz, and they're all fantastic. They really are. If you look in his first two seasons, if we split it up, his first two seasons. In 2016, he played all 16 games, which is unusual for an Eagles quarterback. It hasn't happened that often, certainly since the Andy Reid era began. And if we use the Game Splits app, which is one of the best apps we have at Rotoviz, we're able to look at, for example, for a quarterback, their pass attempts and completions, touchdowns, interceptions, yards per attempt, and passing yards. And we can break it down between seasons, between weeks of the year, so we can go, you know, for a span of weeks, for example, say like weeks 1 to 4, we can see what the difference is, and we can see what a player is projected to have done on those numbers if we push them forward throughout a whole season. Well, let's say we look in 2016, Wentz was a rookie, started all 16 games. He attempted 38 passes per game. He completed 23.69. He averaged 236 passing yards per game, one touchdown per game, bit disappointing, and 0.88 interceptions. His yards per attempt was 6.36. Overall, not terrible, but not great. He was asked to throw the ball an awful lot. I mean, 608 pass attempts for the season as a rookie. It's not great. Throw it forward a year, where he only played 13 games. Obviously, he was injured in the 13th against the Los Angeles Rams. His pass attempts had gone down to 33.8. His completions were down as well to 20.38. But his passing yards per game was up to 253.54. His touchdowns per game was 2.54. Interceptions 0.54. And his yards per attempt 7.55. So from his opening season, where he had 3,782 passing yards, 16 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, if we'd have projected it for what he did in his first 13 games in 2017, he would have finished with 4,057 passing yards, an Eagles record. The Eagles, in fact, I think they're the only team now in the NFL that have never had a 4,000-yard passer. 41 touchdowns would have been an Eagles record, 9 interceptions, and a yards per attempt of 7.55. That's just an absolute quantum leap from where he was. So if we look at some players, you know, similar to Carson Wentz, we're looking at quarterbacks in their first two seasons in the NFL. From 2008 to 2017, I've gone with this. And the reason I've gone with that is because 2008 gave us two rookies who started at quarterback for their NFL teams, who are still quite, you know, quite prominent in the NFL today. That's Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco. Pretty much before them, it was very, very rare still for rookies to start. So if we look at quarterbacks in their first 2 years since 2008, and we're looking at the players most similar to Carson Wentz's numbers. So just to let you know, that's Carson Wentz, who's attempted 1,048 passes. He has 7,078 passing yards, 6.8 yards per attempt. That's brought down, as we say, by the rookie season. 49 passing touchdowns, 21 interceptions. He's rushed 110 times for 449 yards and two rushing scores. And in this, he's had 566.5 PPR points. Well, the RotoViz screener gives us the option of being able to look for similar players. So using that, similar players in their first 2 years as quarterbacks in the NFL, it's not a great selection, to be honest. We've got Blake Bortles, 2014 to 2015. He had 1.5 PPR points less than Wentz in the first two seasons. Ryan Tannehill, 2012 to 2013, he had 507 passing yards. Now, the reason this isn't particularly encouraging is that Blake Bortles has shown that he's now quarterback of a team that want to take him out of the offence, so obviously that doesn't fill you with a great deal of joy in the heart. Ryan Tannehill is the same. The Dolphins have been their most successful when he hasn't been throwing the ball. Andy Dalton's another name in here. He's had his moments as a fantasy quarterback, certainly. He's had 540.55 PPR points over the time. I think he's had two touchdown passes less, but eight interceptions more than Wentz, same span. And another one, a person who some people were suspecting that at the time, the year before the Eagles took Wentz, that maybe Chip Kelly might have moved heaven and earth to go up and get Marcus Mariota. Well, he's not been terribly different from Wentz in the first two seasons. Marcus Mariota had 45 touchdowns, so less than Wentz, 19 interceptions, again less than Wentz, and he had 551 PPR points. So not a terrible, you know, not a terribly encouraging list of comps, but there are players there like Dalton and Mariota who've shown flashes. I mean, what Mariota did go backwards last season, but there is an awful lot of hope around him in a new offense with a new offensive-minded coach. Offensive coordinator, sorry, for the Titans in Matt LaFleur. So again, if we have a look using the RotoViz screener, again, we saw that Wentz's numbers there are pretty much brought down by a poor first year. So let's have a look at players similar to Wentz, again, using the similarity search on the RotoViz screener, who had second years similar to Carson Wentz. Well, now we Marcus Mariota's there as well, 7.6 yards per attempt, 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Wentz had 7.5 yards per attempt, 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Another encouraging name here is Russell Wilson. He had 8.2 yards per attempt in his second season, 26 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. So the same as Marcus Mariota, 313.35 PPR points. And other players, Derek Carr, his second season, he had the 32 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, an MVP-style season for Carr. Then obviously he has his broken leg, he's had back problems, he's not been the same. And another name on here is Josh Freeman. So the less said about that, the better. Well, another the key player on the Eagles offense is tight end Zach Ertz. Now, people think that Ertz broke out in 2017. He was certainly one of the Eagles' best pass catchers. But the fact of the matter is that over the last three seasons, so the two with Wentz and the season before that, he has been amongst the most productive tight ends in the NFL. He's had 328 targets. Again, this information is from the RotoViz screener. You can break it down by year or by a span of years. So I've gone from 2015 to 2017 to get this information. His 328 targets are third most among tight ends. His 227 receptions were third most. His 2,493 receiving yards was fourth most. And his PPR points, 560.3, is fourth most. The one area in which he seemed to lag behind his peers was with touchdowns. He only has 14 in those three seasons. That's good for 10th. Now, he did have 8 last year, and that was a career high. So, obviously, we're hopeful, you know, if you're an Eagles fan or if you're a Zach Ertz owner, that they can still have this connection. We've seen how important the tight end is in the Doug Peterson offense. Obviously, the Eagles drafted Dallas Goedert, but at the moment, Zach Ertz is still the guy. Another player that the Eagles may look to use more this season than they did last season, and that's Jay Ajayi, who came in as a trade during the season from the Miami Dolphins. Now, people don't seem to know what to make of Ajayi fantasy-wise. You know, is he going to be a workhorse? Are the Eagles going to continue to have this committee? He did split time, it is acknowledged, you know, with Corey Clement, LeGarrette Blount, even Kenyon Barner last season when he came over to the Eagles. If we actually have a look, in the 7 games he played for the Dolphins before he came to the Eagles, he was playing an average of 71% of their offensive snaps. He played an average of 36% for the Eagles. So again, if we use the Game Splits app, let's say, on the Rotoviz suite of apps, and we break down his season from weeks 9 to 17 and weeks 1 to 8, well, in the weeks 1 to 8, he was averaging 19.7 rush attempts per game, 66.43 rushing yards per game, but no touchdowns. He didn't have any touchdowns. In the receiving game, he was being targeted 2.86 times per game. He had 2 catches per game, and he was averaging 9.6 PPR points. So he was getting a big, big bulk of the work in the Miami backfield, but he wasn't doing that great. Fast forward, I say, to weeks 9 to 17, those 7 games he played with the Eagles, and bear in mind, I say, his snap count was virtually halved from what he was getting at Miami. We see now his attempts per game is down to 10. His rushing yards per game, though, is down to 58.29. So he was averaging 5.8 yards per carry. His touchdowns, he was getting 0.29 touchdowns per game. He saw 2 targets per game and was getting 1.43 receptions per game and 11.13 PPR points per outing. So if we extrapolate this over a full season, he actually would have had 178 PPR points, 933 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns, only 23 receptions, but I say 178 PPR points. If he'd have been kept at his work pace, what he was getting with the Dolphins before he came to the Eagles, he'd only have had 154 PPR points. So it's a question of, he has shown he can be much more efficient if the Eagles do sprinkle in some of the other backs. Obviously, they still have Corey Clement. Donnell Pumphrey seems to be having a great camp. He might be, you know, becoming something of the player Eagles thought he would be when they drafted him. But they've still got Darren Sproles, and there's Josh Adams or Wendell Smallwood or Matt Jones, the former Washington back. So we've seen that Ajayi can be productive with a smaller workload, but we've seen in the past as well, in his second season with Miami, that if you want to feed him the ball time and time again, he can do that as well. So that's going to do it for the 2018 Philadelphia Eagles team preview from Rotoviz Radio. Big thank you to Jimmy Kemsky. Please go out and follow him on Twitter at Jimmy Kemsky. I'm Neil Dutton. Follow me on Twitter at NDutton13. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the 2018 Team Preview Series. Our assistant executive producer is Colm Kelly, and our executive producer is Matthew Friedman. Please rate and review the Rotoviz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favourite podcast app. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at Rotoviz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to Rotoviz at a 30% discount through the Rotoviz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.